December has been a cruel month for the stock market, but there's some renewed vigor this morning. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There's a moment yesterday where the Dow is down 507 points, but in the end, a turnaround of sorts, with that index closing up 34 points, a tenth of a percent. Is the turnaround sticking? Well, it seems. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at the moment is up 1%, 238 points. The S&P 500 up 1.3%, a similar percentage rise for the NASDAQ Composite. The benchmark for 10-year U.S. interest rates is up at 2.86%. So up this morning, but the eggnog has been looking pretty curdled on the stock market, down about 9% for December so far for the S&P. That's market participants, but what about consumers? Has their mood been defined by this? Julian Emanuel is chief equity and derivative strategist at the financial services firm BTIG.
You know, for us, the mystery is that professional investors' mood is sour at the same time that Main Street is spending robustly during the holiday shopping season and looking towards paying the lowest prices at the gas pump that they've paid all year. And you put that all together and, you know, there's a good deal of optimism, which we think carries back over to the professional investors and cheers them up.
Could go in that direction. It could also be that the consumers eventually get the memo that maybe there's some storm clouds ahead.
Well, the storm clouds could accumulate if we don't get progress with trade developments in China and we don't get, you know, Republicans and Democrats working together. But the bottom line is at this point, employment looks good, consumer confidence looks good. And so it really is a case of the market looking at the glass half empty. And we think that will turn around into 2019.
Always good to talk to Julian Emanuel, who's chief equity and derivative strategist at BTIG. Julian, thanks.
Thank you.
Now, 4 years ago, Tennessee launched a free community college program, often cited as a model for other states. Now, this academic year, over 15,000 students were recipients. But as Shalina Chalani reports from WPLN in Nashville, some students are finding that free tuition doesn't mean free college.
First-year student Mackenzie Wallace is helping a few of her classmates at Volunteer State Community College in Nashville, Tennessee, pick out items at a place called The Feed.
Ramen noodles, you know, the Hormel meals, some the little cans of ravioli.
It looks like a store, but the food, school supplies, and hygienic products offered here are free. Wallace works here because she likes the mission, but as one of six children in her family, she also needs the money. She gets free tuition through the Tennessee Promise, a free community college initiative, but the program doesn't cover the extra $850 a month for her apartment, books, and other living expenses.
I didn't have enough money to, you know, buy books and just stuff throughout the semester that I needed.
In a survey of 1,500 Vol State students last year, around two-thirds of respondents said they did not have enough food. Since The Feed opened last year, there have been over 500 visits.
They literally are hungry.
Lori Miller works in student services at the school and started noticing students bringing bags to campus events to bring food home. She says some students need services like The Feed to get through the day. She regularly donates to the pantry.
I want to fix all their problems. I mean, I'm a mom. I don't have that unlimited funds to do that.
The Tennessee Promise covers tuition and fees not paid for by the federal Pell Grant or other scholarship programs. But now some in Tennessee are asking whether more state aid should go to needier students to defray their living expenses, too.
We don't view Tennessee Promise as a silver bullet. We know that it has to be part of a larger patchwork.
Mike Krause, executive director of the state's financial aid agency, says the Promise has helped more students enroll in community college. But he says the state now needs to provide resources to help students stay in school.
We're going to have to be really focused on making sure that when a student goes to school, they're really just able to focus on the academics.
Now, some state schools are starting to pay for services like counseling, food pantries, and emergency grants to bridge those gaps. In Nashville, I'm Shalina Chatlani for Marketplace.
Here's an investment opportunity with a guaranteed return. Don't say that very often. When you donate to support Marketplace today, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at Candida. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than help keep the show on the air. You help us grow and to get better. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism that you trust, and the payoff comes with what you hear every day. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Give today at marketplace.org And thank you. Now to a teachable moment about why politicians like to lean on their central bankers. Today, India, where the head of that central bank has resigned under pressure. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, joins us from London. Hi, Anu.
Hi there, David.
The Indian government really wants banks there to lend more. He wants people to borrow more. That could boost the economy, and there's an election coming up.
That's right. India generally, and the Prime Minister, Narendra Modi in particular, are obsessed by the growth rate. And a drop from 8% to 7% territory, and that's still really good, is fairly unacceptable for them. And really what's fueled India's amazing growth over the last few decades is that public sector debt. It's helped a lot of billionaires expand their operations. It's fueled the expansion of other private business. Of course, there have been abuses. Some of those billionaires have gone bust and have absconded without paying their debts. But a lot of others haven't, and they're reliant on government kind of helping to grease the wheels of their ambition through these sort of more pliant public sector banks. And that's really what's at the tussle between the government right now and, for example, the chief of the Reserve Bank of India who resigned.
Who resigned? Seen as being pushed out, Mr. Patel. He was seen as standing in the way of more lending, essentially.
Exactly. And the government has even recently cited a never-before-used provision to get the RBI also to reconsider the size of its reserves and also to ease norms for weaker banks. So there is a lot of pressure on the RBI to hew more to the Indian government's policy.
My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand in London. Anu, thank you.
Thank you.
And let me correct, the S&P 500 is down 3.3% this month so far. Not what I said. My math needs some work. I'm David Brancaccio, the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.